more than just an election. It's our future.
There is no doubt that if Donald steamrolls through Super Tuesday, that he may well be unstoppable.
I'd hope that people would open their eyes and see who Donald Trump really is.
The pledge is a two-way street, and if it's not that way, they're going to have a problem.
Tomorrow is Super Tuesday, so tonight we talk about the issues one last time with Michael DelGiorno and David Zanotti live from Woodmont Bible Church, brought to you by Paul Winkler, the investment coach, on Super Talk 99.7 WTN.
One last time. Don't I wish? I'd be filled with joy if it was just one last time. Information-fueled, opinion-driven, that's Super Talk, and this is our live Super Tuesday Eve town hall meeting from Woodmont Bible Church in the West End, and appreciate you listening at 99.7 FM or online at 997WTN.com or on whatever app we don't get credit for in the ratings. It's 8:06. I'm Michael DelGiorno, and I have been joined by David Zanotti. And we kind of went through, just for those of you that are in the room and those of you out listening in the audience, we did all the brain drain in the first hour, so now we can relax and have some interesting conversations. I think you see that it's not as easy as the narrative lays it out. And just as a quick test, if your friend is sitting around your television tomorrow and they say, wow, Rubio's at 18%, hey, we did good, we came in third, you'll laugh, right? Because you know he gets zero. They don't. All right, so we went over, you know, the difference between a proportional or a winner-take-most versus a winner-take-all and the thresholds. You know, David, one of the things we wanted to kind of look at is momentum. All right, so, you know, we can lay out the momentum as it is, and Donald Trump is doing well. I mean, he's leading 81-17-17, but he needs 1,237. So it still looks to me like the kind of momentum that leads to a brokered convention more so than a runaway takeaway, which will be what the mainstream media we'll try to set as the narrative. Don't make no mistake about it, by the way, whether you're Fox News, MSNBC, CNN, MSNBC, ABC, NBC, CBS, any newspaper rag in any city, they all want to steer this Trump versus Hillary because they're going to turn around and dump on Trump and they're going to make sure Hillary wins. So don't fall for that game. And you got just a glimpse of how different reality is from the narrative game that they're playing. But there is some momentums, and the momentums have kind of established that Rubio and Cruz are kind of in each other's way, and that Donald Trump is kind of gradually having the kind of success that has traditionally led to getting the nomination, though it will be close between getting it in the process or through a brokered convention.
Well, and you've talked a lot about the candidates as perceived, the idea of candidate X versus the candidate and the campaign. And some of the campaigns have been run better than other campaigns. Some of the campaigns that we thought would be farther along by now haven't gotten there, either because of the
time
narrative.
Out. Can I put you on the spot?
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you think of one? This is going to shock everybody in this room, but what the heck? If I got to work twice today and not get paid on a leap year, I'll speak my mind. I can't think of one Republican campaign that is being run well.
Not well, no. Oh, okay. In fact, let's talk about something we weren't sure we were going to say out loud, but one of the things
we're in church in preparation for tonight,
because this radio signal is big. All right, WTN's radio signal is big. Now, I don't get paid by WTN. I volunteer for this stuff. So when I say this stuff, it's not because they're paying me to say it.
No, I'm not getting paid either tonight. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm volunteering twice today.
Leap year. You don't get paid on leap year.
So what we've got is a situation where you've got a big signal in a very pivotal state. We invited every single campaign, Democrat and Republican, to participate in 5 to 7 minutes this evening, calling in, and we gave them four softball questions that no one's asked them yet before that we thought you would find most interesting and the radio audience would love. Now, there are both sides of these candidates. 7 minutes, we said, it doesn't matter where you call in from. In fact, if you need to pre-record, we'll take them pre-recorded and we'll play them. You can either show up and go live with us. You can go ahead and do this pre-recorded.
Or call on the phone.
Or you can call in. 5 to 7 minutes to talk to thousands of people in a critical proportional state that is huge. Not one took the offer.
Hillary was the only one whose people responded.
Hillary's people were the only people who treated the request professionally, instantly, immediately responded with respect and said, great idea, we'll run it up and see if we can make it work. We didn't even get responses. Oh, one of the campaigns said, well, how about a spokesperson? And we said, how about not? Yeah. We told them, don't even bother with that stuff with us. See, this is what happens. These campaigns are so addicted to cable news. They believe everything happens for the news cycle, what footage they get on television. They don't understand how many people don't have time to watch that stuff.
It's interesting because David would all... There are things about Marco Rubio, his defense of our faith, that I think, you know, the analogy I use with my listeners is, I am a 100% match with Ted Cruz. So I can say these things. This is my radio station. I know you're not comfortable. I'm a 100% match to Ted Cruz. But I'm about an 80% match to Marco Rubio. And I think Marco Rubio is a better messenger. And I think he's the only one that actually can beat Hillary. And I believe that. So I will take 80% of somebody who can win versus 100% of somebody who can't. We're going to get further in the process. I think there are things about Marco Rubio that are very John F. Kennedy-esque in his ability to have charisma and communicate.
And he really liked Kennedy.
Yeah, I'm obsessed with John F. Kennedy. That's a whole other story. But he would be a right-wing extremist if alive today.
Yeah, he would not get nominated by his own party today.
No. Probably the right-wing extremist who shot him wouldn't have shot him. No, so, but the point was going to be that you, well, one guy gets the joke. So
I'll be here all week and try the veal.
And Oliver Stone got it too, wherever you are, yes.
Yeah, so, but the way I always explain it is, for me, you know, I was stuck between Cruz and Rubio's Duke, and we would be on the golf course, and he would say, Michael, I'm going to have to quote you now. Do you know how stupid they are? They could just, all they'd have to do, I mean, do you real, I mean, well, Paul Winkler will tell you how effective an endorsement from WTN works as he's opening his ninth location. He could also tell you how much it costs to get airtime. They all, I know what they're all paying for 60 seconds of airtime. And if any one of them ever called me up, they'd have gotten 30 minutes in the middle of my show, not a commercial, and I would have literally, I mean, now here's the irony. In the end, it was Marsha Blackburn plus Governor Haslam plus Lamar Alexander's endorsement of Marco Rubio that tipped me over, and I'm voting for Ted Cruz tomorrow. So that's the bottom line. So that's, we'll talk about power of endorsements later. There's something I must not know. If I'm pulling the same lever as Lamar Alexander, it just can't be so. Sorry, Marco. You'd have been better off with David Duke. If me and Governor Haslam agree on something, I don't trust me. I'm done. I'm going Cruz. But you can see
how unique these decisions are, right?
No,
They're unique perspectives.
But follow the analogy. That's how stupid the Marco Rubio camp is. They could have owned me. I could speculate, but Donald Trump could have owned a couple of our hosts had he gotten involved early. I could speculate Ted Cruz and his father, by the way, couldn't woo me, although I was very impressed with the father more than the son. Rafael Cruz is one of the most amazing men of God I've ever chatted with on the radio. But, you know, it wasn't until, but so I would actually say, to get back full circle, I think every one of these Republican campaigns are atrocious. Yeah. They're terrible. And the reason I bring that up today is they're going to get their butts killed as soon as they get in the general. I know there's not a person in this room that probably thinks Hillary Clinton can be president. And I'm telling you, I don't see a way she's not. You better wake up. And if somebody doesn't wake up before tomorrow, we're doomed. But go ahead.
And so why was there hope again in life? All right, let's take a second, breaking away, segueing from that, for a small, brief commercial. iVoters.com is up on your screen. iVoters.com.
Are you shamelessly plugging your place?
Not just shamelessly. I'm boldly and without apology.
You say take a break. Poor Craig was probably thinking about a commercial break.
No, Craig. And the reason
I
want you
to turn around and
actually, they have it right there, and you have it here. This is a high-tech operation here. We're seeing it everywhere. iVoters.com. The reason I wanted you to see that is when you go on there tonight, tomorrow, you can go back and click. You'll get the primary calendar. You'll get the delegate scorecard. Melanie, just click on something back there so they can see what happens. You'll see videos from the iVoters team.
This is embarrassing that you're doing this.
Well, no, because tomorrow.
Why don't I show pictures of my kid and take it off?
There's the delegate count. Because what's going to happen tomorrow night is a lot of the people that are on this team are going to be helping us with the delegate counts tomorrow.
Oh, so you're going to do a promo for tomorrow's watch party.
Walk with me, Michael.
Telling the story of how dumb the Republicans are, and you don't have anything. You were making that point of how they're not running.
And I'm showing you what smart looks like. This is what you do. You segue from one thing to the next thing, because tomorrow night we're going to be on these delegate counts and we're going to be talking about these things. And there's a whole team of people at a research desk that will help us get through this as quickly as possible, so you'll know what tomorrow looks like. So what I'd suggest we do is when you turn on your television tomorrow, turn the volume off and turn on WTN radio. See, because then you can watch the talking heads and watch the scroll and watch the pop-ups on the screen, but you can listen to intelligent talk.
My advice is spend time with your family. All right, we are. When we come back, let's talk about what momentum is real. Let's talk about what endorsements do matter and what attacks should be noticed. Then let's get into our sample ballot and. I guess.
Yeah, we do have to talk about the sample ballot because there's a surprise coming. You don't want to go away. You got to hear this.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm voting for Cruz, but I got a couple of Rubio.
We got it out of you. We got it out of him. Holy smokes.
But that doesn't mean they're getting all my delegates because it's a proportional state, and I'm very concerned.
You voted early, though, right? I thought you voted back when you fell in love with Rubio the first time.
I'm old school. I like to go on election day with my wife.
All right.
And you're not welcome.
Okay.
Although her and the PowerPoint can come with me. It's 8:15. We're broadcasting live from Woodmont Bible Church. It's Super Tuesday Eve, live on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. Information-fueled, opinion-driven, that's Super Talk. It's Super Tuesday Eve, live from Woodmont Bible Church in the West End on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. I'm your midday host, Michael DelGiorno, along with David Zanotti from American Policy Roundtable. And as he so PowerPointed us, also presenters of iVoter.com.
iVoters with a plural S, please. You know why?
I'm an independent. I'm not voting. Do you know why? Trump, I'll call him right back. I'm not getting paid anything. Go to iVotersWithAnS.com and make sure you follow all the results tomorrow.
And the reason you got to go to iVoters with an S is because last week Hillary Clinton bought iVoter.com. Yeah. So that's how interested they are in this site. And the reason that they bought it and we did it is because it was up for market at $50,000 a pop. And as a nonprofit, we couldn't justify buying it. So she bought it.
All right, let's go through a quick pro quo if we can. Yes. Momentum is real.
Oh, by the way, what newsflash. Carson's campaign called right before you guys went on air and offered a campaign rep.
Yeah, so we don't want to.
I said, thanks.
A person with Cruz's camp emailed me 2 days ago. Or no, with Rubio's camp. Finally got something from Rubio, and I thought, oh, maybe they're waking up. And then it was like, would you like to talk to Governor Haslam about his endorsement of Marco Rubio? So my response was, Haslam? Never. But Marco's welcome. Never heard back from him. Yeah, so that's not the same thing as what was requested. All right, let's talk about momentums that are real, though. I mean, today's really been about narratives versus reality. But there are some momentum that is out there. You know, if somebody were to characterize that immigration is the defining issue of this campaign, that's why Marco Rubio can't get traction, although I would say a solid second place in the last two is some traction. But, you know, the immigration is really driving it, and Trump's right. I love when he says nobody was talking about immigration till him. I've been fighting that for 15 years. Are you kidding me? What next? Nobody's brought up Muslims are killing Christians in the Middle East. But anyway, you would disagree. I would disagree that immigration is driving this.
Well, and the reason that immigration is not driving it is first off, we have to remember, we talk about the general election that's coming up. You're talking about 127 million people or so are going to vote in that election. Only a fraction of those people are participating in the Republican primary. Only a fraction. At maximum, perhaps 25%. And Trump is getting 35%.
Of 25%.
Of that 25%. So to say that what's happening in his rhetoric is resonating across the whole nation in and of itself is tremendous reach. Yeah. It's bad math. But when you go through polls and look at Gallup polls consistently over the last 3 years, right up until just a month ago, and where people rank the issues and what they care about the most, immigration and building a wall is not number one. It's not number two. It's not number three. It's not there. It's down the line. And what it is it's geographical as well. If you live in the Southwest or in Florida, you're far more concerned than if you live in Minnesota, Michigan, Wisconsin, Ohio, or on the East Coast.
It's about border issues. They're like, we haven't had any problems with Canada.
It's a geographical issue. So if you overplay that card, it may be the most important momentum thing to me or to you, but it's not the most important thing in the country.
But what is real, and the reason people can't understand that evangelicals are going Trump's way, what is real is the anger.
Yeah.
The anger, the disgust, and the mistrust. And I think it's on both sides. For Democrats, they're having issues, too.
And it's the anger, mistrust, about Washington, D.C., and it works.
Which is why I explain, and you brought this up in a meeting, and everybody went silent. I really think, you know, well, when God speaks, he's always right, but we have the failed Republicans that told you time and time again, give us control of the House. We'll stop all this out-of-control spending. And then they didn't. We'll repeal Obamacare. And then they didn't. We'll stop amnesty. And we'll defund the overturn the executive. And then they didn't. And then they didn't. And then they didn't. You have the failed Republican promises for the creation of Donald Trump, and there's no stopping it now. And then you might have Donald Trump for the creation of Hillary Clinton.
Well, now I want to give Ben Carson a piece of credit, because Ben Carson did something in the last debate that no one has yet to do. Because most of the discussion about immigration is not an honest discussion. And the reason it's not honest is because they continue to change the definitions of the words. They talk about amnesty, pathway to citizenship. They talk about this kind of visa, that kind of visa. And most people are going, I'm not really sure what they're talking about. I just don't want a porous border with people coming over here to kill us or sell drugs. We all get that. That's 100% unanimity. Does anybody want a porous border where people can come over and kill us and sell drugs? No. Okay? It doesn't matter what crowd you're in.
I did last hour,
okay.
But
now
I don't.
Now change your mind. Okay. All right. So
two people left.
Nobody wants that. In fact, I'll tell you, we've been trying this experiment for years. We get a small group of people in a room and say, here's what we want to do. Would you please solve the immigration problem for us? Here's the issues. You put a half a dozen people in a room, set them in there for 4 hours, not like John Kasich and lock the door, all right? But you let them, and you give them the issues and say, do you think we can solve this problem? Of course they can solve the problem. And Ben Carson's credit, he said the one word that none of them ever talk about with immigration in the last debate. He said, voting. Because you see, that's the thing that the political parties are fighting over. Not whether or not those people can stay here or should stay here, but are they going to get to vote, and when? Because they're more concerned about controlling the power of that population group than they are about safety. That's the problem. And nobody has the courage to say that out loud from the stage. And Ben Carson, to his credit, said one word that no one else has been willing to say.
I was once with a pro-life leader at a state level. And I said, you know what? I'm all for parental consent, informed consent, 48-hour waiting period. I like calling out how disingenuous people are. They say they're pro-choice. So if you're pro-choice, what difference does it make what choice is made, right? So these are all very sensible things. It shouldn't be that my daughter can go get an abortion without my approval, but if they want to give her an aspirin, I got to give approval at school. That just doesn't make any sense. And so I looked at this guy and I said, you know what? All this political games, I just don't have the patience for it. What we need is a human life amendment. You know, and not that it could have happened because I said it anyway, but he looked at me and he said, oh, we can't do that. I said, why? Why couldn't we do a constitutional amendment? We're a pro-life state. He said, well, we wouldn't want to. There's, you know, every one of our candidates started out plus 10% of the abortion issue. We eliminated the abortion issue. I said, you would.
Wait, you're telling me, he said, that if the abortion issue went away, it would cost his candidates votes?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So keep the issue on the table.
But, I mean, just so you know how people play these political games, and they make no sense. And so, yeah, you could solve this immigration issue. But guess what? The left doesn't want to. They want to steal elections with it. The right doesn't want to. They want the cheap labor. We're in the exact same place we've been for 20
years.
And don't blame it on Marco Rubio.
And both of them are terrified about how do we get down to saying when do these folks get the opportunity to vote or not or never.
Exactly.
They don't want to say that loud. Carson was the only man who had the courage to put the V word into the game.
25 minutes after 8 o'clock. Quick pro quo.
It's bedtime for me. I got to go.
Who does have momentum, and what momentum is real? Anger is real, but who has momentum and the momentum is real?
Clearly, you cannot deny the fact that Trump has momentum, and the momentum is being driven by the media. He is the media darling right now. There's no question about it. He's the fascination. He's the circus.
A lot of endorsements. Sessions was a good one. Christie.
Shocking one.
Two bullies. I mean, I guess they got that in common, but I mean, I wouldn't think you would want that any more than the David Duke endorsement. But the Sessions, that was a real one.
Yeah, and everything changed in the last debate where Cruz and Rubio had the decision to make, and they went ahead and decided they would have to go after this guy. Now, understand that campaign candidates at this level, look, Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz, they make a nice paycheck as United States Senator. They have great pensions and great benefits. It's the best club in the world. If you could have the best job in America, be a United States Senator. You should run. It would be a good idea.
Not enough soap and showers for me to go to Washington.
I would vote for you.
Every time I go there, I loofah.
It's a great, great job. But they don't have the kind of money to run this campaign. And so they've got a group of private network investors that are basically putting money into their campaign and keeping them out there. And they've got billionaires behind them that are keeping them in the game. Right? If they didn't have that money, they wouldn't have a chance at this thing. Trump is bringing in his own unlimited resources. That alone is momentum. But the media also wants Trump to stay around because they want his money.
To answer the question before our next PowerPoint commercial.
iVoters.com.
I would think Sessions going into Super Tuesday could be an endorsement that could impact, especially in Alabama.
Oh, sure, in Alabama. And Alabama's going to be a big state. It's going to be a big state. Trump should have more difficulty in these southern states that are more conservative.
Hobby Lobby came out and endorsed Marco Rubio. I don't see a lot of kick from that. I don't think Governor Christie's going to provide any kick. I've shared with everybody anecdotally how it was the kiss of death for Rubio in my house to get an endorsement from Haslam,
but I do
Lamar
think
Alexander, and Marsha Blackburn.
Even this evening, that a very large number of people listening to us right now on the radio have yet to make up their mind. Now, probably some of them just decided because they heard what you said. They may have agreed with you or said, well, if he's voting for Cruz, I'm voting for anybody but Cruz.
Now, that could be.
Or they may have gone the other way. All right. So, but there are people, a large number of people. What our research has shown over the years, almost 40 years now of elections, is that the vast majority of people, 50% or more of voters, make their decision in the last 10 days with half of that in the last 10 hours.
That's why I bring up the Sessions endorsement. What about attacks? You know, we got Trump, we got the KKK, David Duke thing, which I think is much to do about nothing. You have the IRS and the tax returns. That's a broken promise for Donald Trump. I mean, do any of these, and by the way, I do want to say this disclaimer. I think a lot of people resent Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz for doing this. Imagine Donald Trump, who's done nothing but wage personal attacks on other candidates. Now, suddenly somebody smacks him back and they're outrageous and they're dividing the party and now we can't unite for the general. Isn't that a convenient narrative? I'm glad these are coming out because I promise you this. Standing up for what's right, which was my original show slogan, was all about it's not enough for us to talk about Jesus. We got to live what we believe. We got to be light. We got to be salt. Nothing changes without action. Understanding what's wrong doesn't make it right. You got to go out there and live it and change it. And it was also about media bias. And I'm here to tell you that if you don't think that the mainstream media, especially ABC, NBC, all these newspapers, and MSNBC and all of them, they're waiting. They would love for nothing about Trump to come up. They will sell him, sell him, sell him. And the minute he gets the nomination and the minute it's between him and Hillary, then they're going to dump it all on the voters and steal the election. So I think it's important that these attacks come out. If there's anything to know about any of them, I want it to come out now and before Super Tuesday. But are any of these attacks real and could impact numbers?
Yeah, I think they are. I think that they'll make all the margins closer tomorrow. I don't think there's any question about that because people are becoming more and more uncomfortable. It's one thing, and then it's the next thing, and then it's the next thing. And there are a lot of other issues that are uncomfortable. Donald Trump's campaign, when people really stop to think about it in the long term, it makes them uncomfortable. The Green family came out today from Hobby Lobby, and Mr. Green commented that he said, this is not the kind of guy I want my kids and grandkids to be like. Ooh, that's tough. Now, granted, other people will say, hey, Mr. Green, you're not electing a role model. You're electing an executive to work for you for 48 months to go up there and knock some people around. We need a revolution, and that's him. Andrew Jackson wasn't the kind of guy you want your kids to grow up like. Oh, I said that in Tennessee. Oops, sorry. Well, how close are we to the Hermitage? Right. At the time he was elected, he was not exactly considered America's role model. Right. There are times that you want somebody to go in and smash heads. That's what it's about.
You're for Trump. Just come out.
Okay.
It's important to get out of the closet. You're going to feel better. I will say.
But the fact of the matter is that the negative stuff is having an impact. It will close the race tomorrow.
My problem with Donald Trump starts and ends here. Donald Trump never talks about self-governance, and that was our intention. Our founding fathers intended us to be a godly, moral people, personally responsible, and self-governed. Donald Trump doesn't ever speak against big government. He speaks to that he can do it better than the people that are doing big government now. And I do think morals matter, and there's no way I can cast my vote for him. And also, don't point at the clock at me. I was going to ask you,
do I have time to say something else? You're going to talk us out the break.
No, we don't have to go anywhere we want to. We have two other questions, by the way, and that is, what are the must wins for Trump tomorrow?
He doesn't have to win anything. He's just got to not get beat or badly. He can lose Texas, not a big deal. He just can't have them run the table on him, and he's not going to.
How does Cruz avoid being in second? How many second places does he
need? If Cruz wins Texas, he lives to fight another day.
That's it.
All he has to do is win Texas, and then he's to the next level.
All right. And then do you see anywhere where Rubio can win?
Rubio's got a big problem. No, I don't think that there's any state Rubio's going to win. But if
he is seriously playing for Procter Convention only.
And he's playing the block. The big problem, though, is his play comes the following election on the 15th.
In Florida, which is a winner-take-all, of which he's not winning in the polls.
But in Florida, remember, in Florida, this is a little different. You can't walk into a Florida election and say, I would like a Republican ballot, please, if you're not registered as a Republican at least 30 days before. So it's not an open primary. That's a different situation altogether. And that may keep a lot of Trump's people from being able to come in and sort of swarm the polls and make a difference. That'll be Rubio's last stand.
Do you see a way for Carson or Kasich to exist reasonably?
No, Kasich, I think, conceded today that he doesn't have a chance in Michigan. And he said on the air today, he was talking on Cavuto, and he made the comment that if he doesn't win Ohio, he's got to go home. Well, that is home. And by the way, we have an office in Ohio, and this is where our organization began. And I listened to Kasich make these incredible rainbow statements about Ohio. My family's still there. We have business there. I got to tell you something. I don't know what Ohio John Kasich.
I don't know, but I'd move there if it existed.
If it existed, I'd be there. We should all go there because it's not the Ohio I know about.
When we come back, here comes the rejoin music. Yeah. As it does turn out, Tennessee, we always wanted to have a say earlier and earlier in this process. Turns out Tennessee may have one of the loudest voices in this entire process. We'll make that case, look at the ballot and strategies of, even though you might be for candidate A, you might want to vote for a few of the delegates from candidate B and C, and we'll tell you why when we wrap up our Super Tuesday Eve live broadcast from Woodmont Bible Church, where even the guests in the building are yawning. Next on WTF.
More than just an election. It's our future.
This guy's a choke artist, and this guy's a liar.
If he hadn't inherited $200 million, you know where Donald Trump would be right now?
Selling
watches in Manhattan.
After months of debate, countless speeches, and even a few insults, tomorrow is Super Tuesday. So tonight, it's one last look at the issue with Michael DelGiorno and David Zanotti, live from Woodmont Bible Church. Brought to you by Paul Winkler, the investment coach, on Super Talk 99.7.
Quick poll of hands. How many have learned something tonight? How many feel it was worth it to come? How many are glad you're here? How many are wishing it was 20 minutes from now we were all on the way home?
How many more questions can you possibly come up with?
Praise the Lord! One honest guy in the bunch!
No. Boy.
We are Super Tuesday Eve, live from Woodmont Bible Church. Pastor Lyndon Allen letting us hang out in his house. As he's in the home of the Lord in Israel as we speak. And we just kind of wanted to give everybody a little educational update, and then now we're kind of going to wind down and get into Q&A. As it turns out, and everybody wants that earlier and earlier voice, if you will, and Tennessee finds its place in Super Tuesday, and I think finds itself, I don't think you want to go over all 14, the three caucus and the 11 states up for grabs for the Republicans, but suffice it to say, we have broken these numbers down completely, and Tennessee is going to have an amazing say tomorrow.
Yeah, and I think that what's going to be exceptionally interesting about Tennessee is I think it's going to be a very thoughtful say. Texas, you've got sort of the hometown hero. You've got favorite son. That's a pretty much a distinctive race. It's Cruz against all comers, and that becomes a very Texas thing. That's not the way Tennesseans are looking at this. They're trying to wrestle with what is the right Hall.
How did we start this broadcast saying anybody that applies old paradigms to this election are going to make a big mistake? If you look at the previous two selections from Tennessee, Rick Santorum, very conservative, Mike Huckabee, perceived very conservative, and he hosted a show, not so conservative. Great guy, don't get me wrong. I voted for both of them. Is it possible Ben Carson might be doing a lot better than we think?
It is possible, and it's also possible that Donald Trump might not win Tennessee. And that would be a very big shock to the nation. That would be a very big shock. So if that happens tomorrow night, now you also wonder. I think it's going to be much closer than you think. Now, if it's not, and if we're wrong, and if Trump has a runaway train,
can I give you one of my famous scenarios? Why do I do the Vlasic Pickle voice when I turn this way? Suppose we have. I did this on purpose, by the way. I want to throw this wrench into the evening. What if we have underestimated Carson? What if Carson is somewhere about 15% in Tennessee, and Rubio is somewhere around 18%? And let's say Cruz is somewhere around 19%, and maybe Kasich's a little higher because there's a lot of establishment people around here, and maybe not even the endorsement of some goofballs could create an establishment candidate out of Rubio. And so maybe Kasich's somewhere between 6 and 10, and Trump is somewhere around 24. Do you realize what that creates?
Well, by the way, test to the audience. If that's the case tomorrow, what happens? Trump gets it all.
All 58, which is possible, too, if we've underestimated.
So you see how intriguing this is. It's not like what they're telling you on the news. Now, why are they telling it to you on the news that way? Number one, they have agendas. And by the way, it's not that the every one of the members of the media, though a lot are and a number of the networks are, radical progressive leftists who have an agenda for totally reshaping America. Yes, some of them are that way. But some of them are just lazy. I mean, they're just doing this as the best job they've ever had. They've never worked politics in their life. They've never circulated a petition. They barely vote on a regular basis. They've never worked like this. They've never come out to a meeting like this. This is work. They don't do that. They're pretty. They're pretty people. And they have nice voices. And they're out to, well, some of them, at least not the ones on radio, but the other ones on television. That's why they do this.
I got nicer legs than Megyn Kelly, and I'll prove it.
All right, but not tonight. Thanks be to God. Okay,
so
this is where it's at. It's hard work, and they're not in for the heavy lifting. That's what it's really about. It's more of a conspiracy of laziness than it is a conspiracy of evil in many cases. So this is going to be a tough call.
11 states for the Democrats, including the American Samoa, all proportional, I might add. That's the good news. The bad news is all loaded with superdelegates. So there'll be 1,015 delegates awarded. I already showed you Hillary has 100, and I'm suspecting somewhere around 120 of the superdelegates at the lowest possible scenario tomorrow night. The Democrat side is over after Super Tuesday.
That's right. It's just a formality from there. Questions?
Yeah, we can. All right. Are you in a big hurry?
Well, you got 19 minutes, and there's questions in
We're
going
to do it. Do we want to start with
These people are here in person. You can't cut them off on the phone.
No, what I want to do is Paul Winkler had the first question. He wanted to know the questions we would have if you're just joining us, we invited every candidate to come on the show tonight. And we had not tough, it wasn't going to be gotcha questions. They were softball, human questions. Not a single campaign, well, I guess the Carson campaign offered a spokesperson. Hillary was interested, but they never got back to us. But not a single candidate would either pre-record answers to our questions, come on the phone live, or come in person live on the night before Super Tuesday. But Paul had the question, what were our questions for the candidates that were never responded to?
We've tried these questions out all across the country. We find that people enjoy the answers. The first question was, tell us in American history who you consider to be a hero and why. Someone from American history.
They couldn't be alive, by the way.
Right, couldn't be alive. Someone who, from past, not life, in American history, hero and why. Second question was, tell us your three favorite movies. You'd be amazed how people answer that question. George W. Bush answered that question. He said, I know this isn't a movie, but Lonesome Dove is still my favorite. And then he went on and gave us a couple other ones. I think The Natural might have been one of them, the baseball movie. Given that there's an absence on the Supreme Court, there's a space open, what kind of individual do you think should be on the Supreme Court?
I can't remember what the other one was.
No, I'm going to see if I have a mental block on what the fourth one was. Anna's going to text me in right now. The fourth. In a minute, Paul, I'll tell you what the fourth one was. What was the fourth
one? We wrote it while we were golfing, and I remember I was up two strokes, but I don't remember the fourth question.
Hang on, I've got it right here.
And I actually won that round, by the way, which is fun to bring up anecdotally because I never win. But I actually did win that round. Maybe it's because you were thinking so hard of questions.
I was trying to make you happy.
No, we had one of, didn't it have to do with living in the White House?
No.
Who's the first person you're going to?
We threw that one.
What was the one that I wanted that you said you'll never admit to people that you were going to ask that?
I'm multitasking here.
Was it who was going to be the first person you would invite over to sleep over?
That was it, yes. Who is the first person you're going to have a pajama party with in the White House?
Yeah.
I thought that was.
Because that's what I would do.
Totally.
The first night, man, I'd be checking out everything.
I wanted to say, now somebody said something about what's the biggest reason you want to be. Oh, that was it. All right. The fourth question was, thank you, you jarred it right out of me. The fourth question was, presuming that many of the people listening to tonight's broadcast have yet to make up their mind, give us one reason, why.
And the only condition we had is they couldn't bring up another candidate, or right. we would cut the interview.
Right, that's called a non-debate debate. If you bring up your other candidates, anyone by name, you instantly forfeit your time on that question. We move to the next one. You may not speak about the other person because we just want to know about you. So would you have liked to have heard the answers to those questions? I would. I mean, I particularly care for the movie question.
I didn't, but I enjoyed beating you by two strokes. Okay. I think you're next, Pasta. Oh, grab a microphone. Nobody at home is going to hear you. Isn't there one sitting there?
Thank you very much for having this so that all of Central Tennessee can find out what to do tomorrow in this process. My question simply is, how many Super Tuesday, and I know you said it, but I missed it. How many Super Tuesday states will have open primaries tomorrow? Open primaries being where Democrats can cross over and vote Republican.
Eight.
And have you noticed that the two states that have had them so far, New Hampshire and South Carolina, they voted for Trump? The polls show they've crossed over and voted for Trump. Yeah. That's how he's winning.
Well, and he's winning with crossover. Excellent question. Thank you for the succinct.
Mostly
well.
Independent crossovers, which, by the way, I will remind you, eight are open tomorrow, but the other four, one of which is a caucus in Alaska, are open to GOP and independents. I think it would have the same effect for Trump, if that's where you were headed.
But when we get to the next round in the 15th, and Ohio is open, Florida is not. So that's one that's coming up. Another question here in the front.
I just wanted to know if you could maybe explain how someone who is conservative like Jeff Sessions could make an endorsement for Donald Trump, not knowing, I mean, because you look at, he says something conservative and he turns around and he says something that's liberal and he's kind of all over the board.
I'll start while you think. I would think that, first of all, I think this is a huge, if you're Jeff Sessions, and your priority is border security. You have had, and I'm not saying this because I've just revealed, if this was last night, I was voting for Marco Rubio. But I say this completely unbiased. There has been no greater champion for the border than Ted Cruz in the United States Senate. And for him to have rewarded him by stabbing him in the back and going with Trump, which is a perception, no proven reality, no proven fight, it can only mean that he is completely myopic on the immigration issue. Because this is the same Donald Trump that has indicated universal health care and that he would provide insurance for everyone. This gets back to my problem with Trump, and the theme of Trump is he thinks he can do big government better. He doesn't realize what Ronald Reagan would tell you is government is the problem, not the solution.
Because the reality is Trump
can't. But that could be the only explanation.
Trump can't build anything unless Congress says to build it and pay for it. And so he's going to have to win a vote in Congress to get that wall. Now, the chances if he wins the election, he will.
You're missing a step. He's got to beat Hillary Clinton first. I mean, here's the problem. And I use this analogy from the debate.
That is a point, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Here's the problem. Think about Donald Trump's behavior in the last debate. First of all, imagine the general election debate. He's not going to be on a crowded stage. He's going to be all alone with Hillary Clinton. Is he going to be verbally abusive and bully a 70-year-old woman? And how do you think that's going to play? And I would remind you all, he's not doing it. You know, I use this analogy, and I probably shouldn't use it in a church. But you can be a jerk, I'll use that word instead.
Thank you.
In your house, and you can find a third of family members that are going to side with you. You be a jerk in someone else's house, they're going to throw you out. When Donald Trump is on a general election debate stage, there's a proclivity of 55 to 60% against him. And he's going to be bullying a woman who is, by the way, not an idiot. She's a very crafty, pathological liar, narcissist, and debater. She is drooling over Donald Trump, and I assure you, she is dreading Marco Rubio the most and second most Ted Cruz.
Questions? One more? Yes. By the way, I'm excellent at questions and excellent at taking offerings, just so you know. It gets bigger laughs and bigger crowds. Go ahead.
You mentioned earlier the possibility of a brokered convention, and I'm wondering if you can explain that a bit further.
Sure.
And if you think that would be a better thing, a better way of deciding, and why.
Tough to say on whether it's better or not. Brokered convention.
Well, I can do that one real quick.
Go ahead.
How many are here for Donald Trump? Do you mind raising your hand? Okay, so it'd be better for everybody but him. And by the way, if you're not for Donald Trump, it's your only hope right now. So that's how relative that question you're asking.
It's a very quick and real reality. So a broker, as far as the who it benefits and who it doesn't, the concept of a broker convention is nobody gets to 1237. Technically, every state has bound their delegation to the first ballot at the convention in Cleveland. And by the way, those of you that are texting me in from around the country saying, quit dogging on Ohio, I was just kidding. I've already got the criticism from the Buckeye State.
You know what? I hope they cut you off and unfriend you.
I apologize. And I am not in the closet for Donald Trump. I've also told I better clarify that up, too, because my email will be filled up tomorrow. So a brokered convention is that they haven't got the 1237. They'll cast the ballot the first time. Then, in essence, there are no rules except the rules that the convention decides. It sort of activates the convention at that stage in the game because the delegates are released. And so then it becomes a most intriguing game. It would be one of the most fascinating things in American history if it happens. It's not my business to say whether it should or shouldn't. I'm just telling you that's the way it works.
By the way, the last one was Reagan and Bush, right?
Well, yes, sort of. Reagan came with the challenge. It wasn't totally decided, but Ford had such a strong move forward.
But it's not impressive. There's a lot of people that haven't been following politics.
76.
And so you're going to think it's new, but it was actually quite common. It really is. Let me give you an example. Like right now, it's a formality, and you'll have people on network television talking over the delegates as they're giving their numbers. And we award 27 delegates from the great state of Ohio to the next president. All right, but listen, I have been alive for brokered conventions where you did not know who the nominee was, and you hang on every one of those. You guys are going to love it. Absolutely love it. Now, the notion is, and that this is what I did want to cover, so let me go here. The notion is that delegates are, in some cases, the wisest people you could send to represent you. I want you all to realize that in a brokered convention, it doesn't necessarily have to be any one of these people. You know, I was listening to the Amanda Show when you were a guest today, and you guys were talking about what is Romney up to. I do think you're right, ultimately, that Romney, if he gets into the race, it's to block Trump from getting to the number and force a brokered convention. It's not because he's under a delusion of grandeur that late he could possibly get the nomination. But I was thinking as I was driving, and you might ought to remind people that if we go to a brokered convention, they could make the nominee Mitt Romney and the vice president.
Or anybody else.
Or anybody else, yeah.
They could nominate Paul Winkler here.
No, yeah, absolutely. And it's an exciting thing to watch.
No.
But when you ask the question, who's exciting for it? And this is why I wanted to make this final point. So Pamela Furr comes up to me, and she goes, well, listen, I early voted today, and I think I did something really stupid. And I said, well, what did you do? She said, well, I voted. I'm not going to tell you who she voted for. She's a news person. But I voted for so-and-so, but then I also voted for delegates so-and-so, and there's people we know, and so-and-so and so-and-so. So, you know, my point would be I have made the decision to vote for Ted Cruz, so use me as the analogy instead of her. So I'm going to vote that when you get to your ballot, you're going to see the candidates. They're going to be in alphabetical order. I'm going to vote for Ted Cruz, but I got news for you. Then you have a second choice, the delegates. And so I'm very interested in Steve Gill because I know him and his wife, and I want him to represent me if he goes there. And then I also know Mae Beavers. And while I'm not for Donald Trump, if I know I live in a proportional state or I may be headed to a brokered convention, I may like Mae Beavers to be there. In other words, there is such a strategy where all your delegates shouldn't or may not want to be all matching delegates to your candidate of choice. And you got 2 minutes, smart aleck, because you thought we could do all 19 on Q&A. What would your strategy be for that?
Let me explain, sir, what he's trying to explain to you, but he just missed a little bit of the pack. When you go in, you're going to vote for your four your candidates. Your presidential candidates will be there. But then you'll keep turning. You'll go, oh, my gosh, there's like 100 other names here. What are these names lined up with Cruz or lined up with Trump? How do I pick? What you're being offered is the opportunity to vote for a delegate that you're sending, you're in essence giving them the ticket to go to the convention. Should Cruz win a delegate, then that person would go. In other words, you're voting for his slate of delegates. If you do not vote for that slate of delegates, your vote still counts
for the
president. But if you know people who are trying to get to a convention, then you have the opportunity to vote for them as well. It doesn't cancel the other thing. So that's what Michael's basically talking about. So you have that opportunity as well. And a lot of people will completely blow that off because it will freak them out because they didn't know it was coming.
But knowing that there's such a proclivity for this to be a brokered convention or a state that is literally probably, I mean, we don't know because we don't have clear polling. I would suspect that probably Cruz and Trump are going to split all the delegates in Tennessee. You might want to throw a couple Trump people that you like.
And this is the other conspiracy, if you will, that goes to the final part of the answer of your question, is that if the people that are sent as delegates break trust, then what do? They're bound on the first ballot.
But not on the second.
But not on the second. Right. So how long, if they're right now a ballot, if they're on there for Cruz or for Trump, how long will they stay? So that's the other thing, and that's why that is on the ballot, so you have a little bit additional information.
Or, this, I don't want to confuse it even more.
But the longer we talk, they're going, my head is now about to explode.
Say, but let's say they get to a brokered convention, and it's obvious. A brokered convention is not like a caucus, all right? So we're all in the room. Well, it can't be Trump. We've agreed on that. Where would a Trump person go next? I'm going to trust Mae Beavers is probably going to go to Ted Cruz next. So I might want to vote for her to be one of the delegates, even though I'm a Cruz person and I think I confused everybody. And
I told you not to go there. I told you don't go there. No, no, it's fine. They got it. They got it. And thank you.
I think they get it. Quick break. We'll come back and say goodbye from Woodmont Bible Church, 855. Super Tuesday, Donald Trump has 81 delegates, Cruz and Rubio 17, Kasich 6, Carson 4. They need to get to 1,237. 25% of all delegates are up for grabs, 624 in all, 70%, 438 of which will come from winner take most, 186 from proportional. And now you guys all understand the thresholds and proportional versus winner take most versus winner take all that is to come. Leaves us time for one last question. Go.
Do you think that Trump will have the ability, if he is nominated, to totally morph into the presidential candidate to beat Hillary, and that a lot of this stuff is just, I'm going to get everybody else out.
I'm going to take 20 seconds. You take 20 seconds. The problem with Donald Trump is he will energize Democrats. So, like, Republicans can threaten, if Trump doesn't get it, I won't vote. They'll do anything to keep Hillary out of the White House. The problem is you're going to wake up the sleeping giant and the Democrat side, because they'll do it. Nothing will motivate them more than Trump. No, personally, and it's just my opinion, I don't think Donald Trump is the only one who can't beat Hillary. Go.
And the answer to your question from my perspective, sir, I sincerely don't know.
That does it for Woodmont Bible Church. Super Tuesday Eve. We'll see you at the, Wild Wing? Wild Wing Cafe. Wild Wing,
right.
And Cool Springs tomorrow, 7 p.m. till. It'll finally be over. Let's watch the results together with WTN. Thanks for coming, everybody in the building. See you tomorrow morning.